Okay, picture this. You're a student in a more rural part of Michigan, or maybe in a city, and you're trying really hard to make it happen in school. You're studying hard, doing all the right things, but every time you feel like you're getting a foothold, your favorite teacher leaves.
Teachers leave those schools at really, really high rates, rates that wouldn't be acceptable anywhere in the country.
So why are these high turnover rates happening here in Michigan? This is the Stateside Podcast. I'm April Baer. When a teacher leaves, it can be a huge blow to students, both academically and emotionally. And this is, of course, on top of an already tumultuous school year, when students have been dealing with being in and out of schools and so many other things. Chalkbeat Detroit reporter Kobe Levin has been digging into this issue, and he joins us now. Hey, Kobe.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Also with us today is Owen Bondano. He's an English language arts teacher at Oak Park Freshman Institute and also the 2020 Michigan Teacher of the Year. Owen, it's good to have you back.
Hi, it's nice to be back.
Kobe, tell us a little bit about what tipped you off to this issue. What made you want to dig in?
You know, if you talk to any teacher, especially in Detroit, you'll hear some level of frustration, and that goes back even before the pandemic, before folks were forced into teaching online. There's a lot of teachers out there who don't feel supported, who maybe feel that they didn't get adequate training or perhaps mentorship and support once they entered the classroom. And that's translated into problems all along what we call the teacher pipeline, from teachers coming into the profession in the first place, and all the way down to teachers leaving the profession once they've tried it out for a few years. So we knew that there were all kinds of problems. And the one that really stuck out because of the way it affects students is the phenomenon of teachers actually leaving classrooms at really high rates, making it hard for relationships and routines that are so important to school function to really set in and begin to work for students.
Yeah. How big of an issue would you say this is for Michigan overall? Do you know anything about how we compare with other states in terms of turnover?
Michigan historically has been above the national average for turnover. But when you really dig into the numbers, you see kind of a tale of two different states. In our sort of middle class and wealthier suburbs, the teaching workforce is actually pretty stable. They don't have a teaching shortage. They don't have trouble hiring for new positions. But when you go into our rural areas and especially cities, you'll see that administrators are just constantly beating the bushes, trying to find folks who are qualified and ready to teach, and kind of exacerbating the issue. Teachers leave those schools at really, really high rates, rates that wouldn't be acceptable anywhere in the country.
Owen, the reason why we asked you to talk with us about this is that you've seen the issue from a couple of different vantage points. You used to be a sub, and then, to use the education term of art, a para pro at a charter school. And you've also been a first-year teacher there. Can you tell us a little bit about what you've observed of teacher turnover in some of those various roles?
Yeah, all of those, you know, as a paraprofessional and as a first-year teacher, I was in a building where I don't know that we ever saw more than half of our teachers return from year to year. And it was a very common problem to have teachers leave in the middle of the school year. I remember as a substitute teacher, I would come into these various buildings, and I subbed all across both Wayne and Macomb counties, and I would walk into these classrooms where they hadn't had teachers for months because someone left in the middle of the year. And I used to, in all of my early 20s sort of optimism, I would think, like, how could these teachers leave these students in the middle of the year? How could they just, you know, even if I was in the worst situation imaginable, I couldn't imagine leaving kids in the middle of the year. And then in my first year of teaching, I left in March. I learned very quickly to have empathy for what was going on and for the fact that you have to do what you have to do to survive.
Well, what was happening that brought you to that decision?
The school where I started, I was not well supported. I was asked to do the kinds of things, the kinds of tasks as a teacher that even looking back now with my experience, I can't believe they were asking a first-year teacher to wear all of those hats and try to accomplish all of those things with relatively little support. I didn't have any mentorship as a first-year teacher. And when things inevitably go wrong, because it's, as a first-year teacher, things go wrong in your classroom all the time, there was a general air of, well, if I was better at my job, then that wouldn't have happened.
Owen, are we talking about discipline issues or academic issues?
Both. Sometimes it was discipline issues. It was often discipline issues in that school in general. One of the things that I think is a problem that stems from this high rate of teacher turnover is that students in those schools learn to put up walls between themselves and their teachers because they have what I kind of consider educational abandonment issues. And they don't want to form those relationships because they think you might leave at any time. And so it's really hard to build relationships with kids in those buildings. And so, of course, there's going to be disciplinary issues all the time. But I was also being asked to do the kinds of academic tasks where, like, I would wake up first thing in the morning, start work, go to work, work until the custodians kick me out, keep working on my couch at home until I passed out, and then, you know, wake up, rinse, repeat. I was so burned out that by November, I thought, I'm not meant to be a teacher if this is what teaching is.
Wow. Kobe, how does Owen's experience compare with what you heard for the story that you published?
You know, I think it's common. And what you got to think about it from a student's perspective. I mean, Owen is one of the most talented teachers in our entire state. And the conditions were such that he didn't feel he could stay. That was a huge opportunity for those students to have a teacher, you know, who, you know, had the chops, had the drive, wanted to make a difference for them. And it didn't work out. They ended up maybe having yet another sub or another teacher who had to try to, you know, win their trust. When we look at the research, you know, and I talked to more than a dozen folks who've researched teacher turnover, one of the themes is that student learning, as measured by test scores, really suffers when there's a lot of turnover. Now, student learning is hurt even more when you're talking about students from low-income families. Yet in Michigan, those students are the most likely in the state to see their teachers leave.
I've seen some increasing reporting, too, about teacher retirements during COVID and how the pandemic is starting to influence the issue. Kobe, what have you seen?
So retirements are up over this year. We collaborated on this story with Cranes Detroit, and Chad Livengood over there did some great work just to dig up the retirement numbers and talk to some teachers who just said, look, we didn't sign up for virtual instruction. Pandemic education has become too overwhelming. It's added on to the pressures that we faced and that were difficult to sustain even before the pandemic. And we've had enough, you know, so there, and there's a good number of teachers, I think if you talk to any district, who have used their right to retire and left the profession. Now, if you look at turnover, there's a little bit of a different story. Turnover during the pandemic declined a little bit. And as I dug into the issue, I learned that it's actually not uncommon, not surprising, for turnover in all professions, not just teaching, to decline during a recession because there are fewer other jobs available. But the researchers I spoke to said that based on all the indicators that they're seeing, all the signs of burnout, all of the feeling among teachers that they just don't feel supported, are not sure that they can continue. There are concerns among researchers that teachers will leave the profession in large numbers once the pandemic is over.
Well, no question. This feels like a cycle shaping up. There's a great burden on teachers who are in the schools right now. Teachers leave because of burnout, and then there's a scarcity of qualified staff and even more demands on the teachers who stay after that. Let's dig into what this means for students. I guess, Kobe, could we start with the academic component? Who are the kids who are most affected by this in the state?
Yeah, both our cities and rural areas see more turnover than is typical. I think those are for slightly different reasons. In rural schools, you know, you've got to find a teacher who's willing to maybe to move to a small town or maybe agree to a much longer commute than they might be looking for. So that's a challenge for them. And, you know, in urban schools, there are other aspects of working conditions. And just in terms of the lack of support that those communities and those schools have had over time, that make working in those schools much more difficult. Now, in both of those areas, you've got more low-income students than the average across the state. And yet research tells us, and there's been a lot of research into teacher turnover, that those same students from low-income families, are hurt the most when they lose teachers at school, they rely the most, to put it another way, on stability in their classrooms.
We need to take a short break. More of our conversation on teacher shortages and teacher turnover when we come back. Stay with us.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
Support for the Stateside podcast comes from the University of Michigan's Go Blue Guarantee, committed to keeping a U of M undergraduate education within reach of all Michigan residents, regardless of socioeconomic status. Programs are available for all three campuses. More at goblueguarantee.umich.edu.
Owen, I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about the emotional impact that you saw in the high rates of turnover, or thoughts you have about the academic consequences.
Oh, yeah. I mean, academically, it's easy to see why this would be such a detriment to students. You know, they start off the year with a highly qualified teacher, an expert in their subject matter, who at some point leaves, and then you have a long-term sub, if you're lucky, if it's not just a rotating daily sub in your room for who knows how long, maybe even the rest of the year. That would obviously be academically detrimental. We know how important a good teacher is to students' academic progress. And no amount of good plans given to a sub will replace a good teacher in that classroom. But emotionally too, like I mentioned earlier, students have, in these settings, educational abandonment issues. They know that their teachers may leave at any point. And so they put up these walls. And it's my belief that the foundation of all good teaching is the relationship that you build in your classroom and with your students. And it becomes so much harder to build it when they know that you could leave at any time. And they're trying to sort of guard their own heart against you maybe leaving. And they don't want to get to know you. And they don't want to build a relationship with you because they don't want to lose it in the future.
Now you're at a job that where things are a bit different, Owen. Clearly, you've received this award as Teacher of the Year. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about things that did make a difference and how they impacted what you were able to do in the classroom.
Yeah, I mean, I think once I left and I came to the school where I currently work, the sense of increased stability helps. You know, you feel like as a professional, you feel like you can begin to collaborate with the people around you in different ways because you're not afraid that you're going to invest all this time and energy collaborating and then they're going to disappear. You can be reasonably assured that, you know, your students are going to be able to come back to you in the future. And that's a great benefit to where I am currently. I think one of the big differences, too, is that I'm now in a place that's unionized. There's a lot of things that I was asked to do before that led to my burnout that now my union would protect me from. And in that situation, it's not that I'm doing less for the kids. It's that I'm using my energy the most efficiently that I can for my kids. And I'm able to show up for them in a way every day that I couldn't before. I have that energy and I have that organization and planning. And I can sort of jump in with 2 feet when I'm in front of the kids in a way that I really couldn't before because I was so tired from all the other stuff that I was doing.
Kobe, when we talk about what school districts can do to keep teachers around, I'm not sure how much unionization is going to be something that superintendents would necessarily jump at. But what else Right. do you hear about what districts can do to make it possible for teachers to stay longer?
Well, it is an interesting point with respect to charter schools. Owen taught at a charter school. And charters in Michigan don't tend to have teachers' unions. That's one of the things that charter school supporters like about charter schools. And by contrast, traditional schools are overwhelmingly unionized in Michigan. So, you know, if you'd look kind of at the reports, just the distinction between charter schools and traditional schools does jump out to folks. And unionization levels in those schools may be one reason that the teachers choose to leave or don't.
Well, but if I can just push back a little bit, it's not as if the school districts that do have unions are free from problems with turnover, are they?
No, if you look at the numbers statewide, you will see that turnover is clearly clearly much lower in traditional schools compared to charter schools. And, you know, of course, there's a number of different possible conclusions that one could draw from that, including that unions are playing a role. You asked, though, about broader reasons or just anyway, a longer list of reasons that turnover happens and things that we can do about it as a state. And there's really no shortage of options there, all the way from really small things to such as, you know, providing additional support to principals, so that they're able to build relationships with teachers and just offer basic supports that are likely to keep folks coming back, keep folks feeling invested in their school communities. Now, just as an example, I heard a story through my reporting of a principal in Detroit who was struggling with high turnover and just asked teachers to, she reached out directly to teachers and said, "Hey, we're halfway through the year. Will you stay? You're doing a good job. We really need you here." And she found that that made a difference. Okay, so that's at the very micro level. Now, zooming way out, if you talk to experts, the folks who've worked on turnover, not to mention a lot of teachers, they will tell you that money is a problem, that there's just been a systematic disinvestment in schools. School funding adjusted for inflation has declined pretty sharply over the last couple of decades. And that funding pays for things like paraprofessionals, aides who support teachers, social workers, adults in schools who work with students, help meet their needs, and lessen the burden on teachers. A lot of teachers who I interviewed said that, you know, the whole burden of education is being placed on me. I'm being asked to do everything. And that's partly because schools more broadly, not just classrooms, haven't gotten enough support.
I'm wondering what the possibility is in Lansing to see some systematic help with this that might fix turnover issues in Michigan. We do know that the latest relevant COVID relief bill resulted in, I want to say, $81 billion that the U.S. Department of Education released starting in late March. I mean, are you hearing anything, Kobe, about what the prospects are for the state legislature to make the kind of investment that would move the needle?
Well, I think regardless of what the state legislature does, schools are absolutely going to be getting a really substantial infusion of federal coronavirus aid. As you talk to educators now, their eyes are mostly pointed to Washington, not to Lansing, because there really is like a historic level of federal spending coming into schools over the next few years. And in talking to folks about what could be done about turnover, I heard a lot of optimism that kind of federal funding can be used to jumpstart, just for example, teacher training and mentorship programs that would make teachers feel supported and better set them up to succeed in the classroom.
Kobe Levin is a reporter with Chalkbeat Detroit. We've also been talking with Owen Bondano, English language arts teacher at Oak Park Freshman Institute. He's also the 2020 Michigan Teacher of the Year. Owen, Kobe, it's great to hear from you both. Thanks for talking this through with us.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
And that's the Stateside Podcast for today. I'm April Baer. You can find every day's full Stateside episode streaming at michiganradio.org. Our executive producer is Laura Weber-Davis. Today's episode was produced by Rachel Ishikawa. Our theme music is by 14KT, with additional music by Blue Dot Sessions. Thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you next week.